Mrs. Fleischer, when you started what we now call your career, actually it was when you started studying. It was not music, but the Arabic and Semitic language and literature. Did you know then that music would become such a source of creative impulses for you, for you and your life?
So I want to make it a little clearer. I started already to learn music from 3 or 4 years old, to play the piano. And it was obvious that I should be a musician from very, very early childhood. And then when I started to learn the piano, as every child goes, you know, regularly, it became, you know, something natural that my talent was clear to everybody, but I still was too young to understand what it is going to lead me to. When I started to learn the Semitic linguistics, it was already in the secondary school, heavily. It was something that I chose, and I liked it so much. It was a revelation, and that was like to fall in love with it. So let's say, I suppose that if you ask me about the age already of 30, when I started to compose, I knew that I'm going to be a composer and should be very involved in these subjects as a composer. But earlier, I really could not know exactly. I could not know. In the secondary school, I was a big, you know, Zionist girl, as many of us. I played the piano continuously. I was active in the youth movement, but it was not so important. The music, the Zionism was more important. Then I was a student, you know, I was a pupil in the secondary school. I had very good, I was excellent, you know, in all these Arabic language and literature already then. But again, I was not sure about anything.
Yeah.
I was too young.
Yeah,
then when I started to compose, it was before I was aware of my real career, I was more a light music musician because it was another very, very, you know, prominent talent.
Yeah.
And it was used already when I was very young. Only around the age of 30, you can say that I understood that music is being to be the impulse of my life. And this will be in its very, very important branch or direction.
So when you studied, you have yet made some little compositions or only afterwards?
After, I'd say that studied when in the secondary school, I sang songs that I'm ashamed to show today because they are very simple and very like popular. No, I would say that I started for the theater between the age, let's say, or light music already 24, 25 to 30, music for stage, for some theater, later a little for ballet, and that is still not the real, you know, direction that I took later on, a little later. Exactly the age of 30 was the age of the right, you know.
It came very suddenly.
Yeah, it came quite suddenly, I would say. I decided that it's too easy for me. It is too easy for me to play the piano, all these light music things, and to compose a whole musical just by flying from Tel Aviv to Eilat or something like that. It was my first, Opus 1 is a musical. I keep it as Opus 1, but I have something like 20, 30 opuses that I don't keep as opuses, you know, group them as pro opuses. But from Opus 1, this big musical, I decided it's not a way of life. I need something more dramatic. I tried. I was not sure. It was a girl named Limonade, a symphonic poem. And now it turns to be one of the most successful pieces that I have all over the world. So it means that you never know. And if you are talented, you are, as usual, talented people have talents in a few fields, and they have to decide. So it was really crazy, my love with the Semitic languages, when I started to study them. Then it was a dilemma. The dilemma started. Shall I be orientalist or a music, musician? And then it came the solution.
And you wanted to do something totally different from the things you had done before. You wanted to change the style of the music, you wanted to change style of your life. Even.
Yes, I wanted to be myself.
Yes, yes.
Because if you write like music or you like theater, mm-hmm. music for the theater, it's you are serving somebody's main goals. Yeah, if it's the director, mm-hmm. He looks for some style, he looks in the drama for something. I wanted to be myself, and that's how I found it. I found myself like that. It was really very, very exceptional. Especially in Israel, you know, everything was quite negative, you know.
Yeah.
Opposing, you know, Arabic literature, Arabs. For me, it was part of my studies, of my just, you know, biography. Yeah. I looked for these materials, I liked them. I did not see anything that resembled this in earlier Israeli music. So I took it very naturally and a lot of enthusiasm.
Could you tell us what...
But are you going to... I hope you are going to stick to your...
Okay, okay.
You can sometimes deviate from them, but if you want to talk on that, and plus that others, we will see the whole day, which is
okay.
Fine.
So, yes, I wanted to go on, but in a slightly different way.
Okay.
And because I thought it would be interesting for us to know what you want to express with your music, because from the texts of Like Two Branches and the Ballad of Expected Death and Cairo, I got the impression that suffering and the way how to deal with it is something you are very concerned about. Is this right? And
yes.
Why is it?
So it's very right. It's very right. Ballad of Expected Death in Cairo, or Like Two Branches, or Lamentation, are really signifying my interest in the mood of tragic. Tragic mood is very, very essential in my music. And I suppose that it has to do with the need to do as much as you can, because all the time death itself is hiking on your shoulders.
Yeah.
You can die. You don't think about it maybe in the beginning, but I suppose even unconsciously, yes, the you know, just the danger of the death every moment, that is the thing that drove me so, you know, strongly to this direction. And maybe because I am still, or was still for many years, not close to the death, it was easier to deal with it in the music.
Yeah.
Once you maybe become older, you want maybe to do something else in order to get out and to get a little further from it. So it's you are right. It's a very, I like very much, I feel very much myself when I write in this mood, and it is opposite to like music.
Yeah.
So that is my real mood.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
deep, and like we say, profondo. Yes,
yeah.
Not the verismo, but the profondo.
Yeah.
Not buffa, but seria.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the let's say not to compare to the young Verdi, but to the older Verdi or Wagner. That is much more me.
Yeah, yeah. And you think you find some answers in your music? You can find them. And what are these answers like?
Let's say, I suppose the answer is the music itself.
Yeah.
That's my language.
Yeah.
Yes, you are right. Everything, for every, you know, danger that you have in life, every tragedy that you have in life, every thought, deep thought that you have psychologically or philosophical about life, I'm doing with it something in my music. It means that music really reflects whatever I pass in my life. And there is a very good example just now. I have not yet spoken about it a lot because it's very fresh. We had in our newspapers and in the radio and the TV in Israel the last year something, you know, such an announcement, you know, a message, you know, something, yes, they say a girl was raped by her brother and her father.
Yeah, her.
And that was for me so horrible. And first of all, I could not find myself. I didn't know what to do, because I said, okay, is this already only for fanatic people? It can happen? Mm-hmm. Very, very primitive? No. No. Is it only very, let's say, religious people, maybe?
Yeah.
Very religious people? Extremely religious? No. So I started to believe that this is a part of life. And if it's a part of life, I have to get something to help myself to continue mm-hmm. living, to continue existing. Mm-hmm. The only way is to shout my shout, how it is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we shall have some better world. If many people, more people, they just pay attention to this thing. Because I suppose mm-hmm. it's the worst that the human being could come to. So I made a piece.
Yeah.
And I composed it because my son, that is younger than me so much, he said, don't you know, mother, that there's something that happens all the time?
Mm.
I said, no. I'm 6 years old. I did not know about it.
Mm.
So first of all, I'm happy that I did not know.
Yeah.
Because I saw so much beauty in my life. And now I cannot see anymore so much beauty.
Yeah.
It all the time disturbs me. It disturbs me. It changed my life. It will change them till the end of my life. This horrible thing that can't exist. At least I wrote a piece immediately. And produced, you know, the production is finished. And it is included. I added it. To this double album that mm-hmm. is now in preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that everything really in life is coming out somehow in my music. Also the loss of mm-hmm. a child, of a mm-hmm. baby that came mm-hmm. into nomination.
And there are
answers. Yes, The art can answer in its way.
Yeah,
and that's very important also to say, because as an artist, for me, there is peace. For me, there is coexistence.
Yeah.
For me, to believe in a poet from Egypt is something, if he's a good poet, if he's dramatic, if the atmosphere that he is writing in is, you know, is playing a good role for me, it's okay.
Yeah.
It means that art can give answers in its language better than politics.
Yeah.
I was asked a few times, how are you doing it?
Yeah.
I said that I'm not making too much point that I'm an Israeli or a Jew.
Yeah.
I get some inspiration somewhere, and that is enough when I go to Egypt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I find there are so many good colleagues.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm all the time telling them how proud I am as an Israeli.
Yeah.
I'm just an artist, and it's interesting to be in the same world together.
Yeah.
They are musicians.
Yeah. That's the reason why you studied the other languages too.
Yes, I like them very much. I'm happy. I did not know, as you we return to the very basic of your question, I did not know when I started to learn these languages that they will lead to such a place in my music, because I did not know it if I should be a musician. But it was a real love with this subject. Yeah. And I'm so happy that I learned it very deeply and very really, as thoroughly as you should learn.
So you could really work with it.
Absorb it and know it. And that is something special about me, because some of my colleagues also like to write in this direction things, but they don't have the knowledge that I have.
Yeah, yes, I think it's true. You wrote two versions of
A Girl.
A girl named
No, it's a girl, butterfly girl.
Yeah. Oh, why did you do so?
That's a good question. It is quite an early piece. And it's composed to Lebanese and Syrian poets of the 60s. So it was a very important stream then. A surrealistic, new one in the Arab literature, Arab poetry. And I liked very much these songs, so I gathered out of them four of different poets, and I did the whole Cyprus. It was quite an early piece. I was not aware then about my sensitiveness to timbre. Yeah. I only wanted that every song will have another mood. And with that special mood, I thought it's really good to do immediately two versions.
Yeah.
One in the native or in the original language, Arabic, and the second in Hebrew. And it came also immediately even English. In the master's school, we have even English immediately, because it was became very useful, yes. I thought you can immediately, if you want, you can play the instruments, the Western instruments, and sing in Hebrew or in English, and take the Oriental instruments and sing it in Arabic. And then if a singer likes very much to sing in Arabic, but she has only piano and flute, she can also does this combination. So it was very practical, I would say, and it did not mean to me that it is in this, you know, version or in that. It's quite rare, because when you write for a harp, you write for a harp. And when you write for a flute, you write for a flute.
But you can't change, yes.
But here, it was changeable, and that's why it led to many, many versions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the whole city that is devoted to versions
of,
I have it here, of this song cycle.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that was the way.
But let us talk once again about Like Two Branches. The last verse of Like Two Branches, I shall weep for you forever, expresses not only an everlasting suffering. Who suffers from love, at least I take your music in this way, will not suffocate in it. Your music is very expressive and decisive. Can you explain why you composed this powerful piece of music in this way?
So to first of all, to ask somebody why did you compose this in this way is quite impossible.
Yes, I know.
It's impossible to make an analysis that should be more objective and will be done by musicologists that have to compare, easily to compare it to other sources of composition.
Yeah.
But in this case, because you really put your finger on my, I suppose, most important piece,
mm-hmm.
That is the most important piece until today. That I can explain.
Yeah.
I can explain why it is so important and what I shortly passed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was in the second half of the 80s.
Mm.
And that was the time, the period in my compositional life, the phase, that I really was aware that I'm going to do a few, that is my distribution to the world of music. I was already aware of it consciously. I want to do a big piece in Arabic with a big poet behind it. So it took a poet of the 6th century, a Bedouin woman. So it's also very to do a lot of with the woman.
Yeah.
The woman, the ancient woman, the sources in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
A very, very summarize of things in my language that I all the time checked and built, and now I felt that I have it in my hands. I can do something big with it. I can show myself the ability how to build really a big piece. Because cantata is only one before all, or it's like oratorio. Or opera, it's not far from that, yes?
Yeah.
And still I was quite young, it was 1989. Yeah. So that was very important, and to take it with no compromises. That's something that all the time is becoming bigger and bigger, the compromise.
Yeah.
You know, you have not money, you have not this production, you have to lessen the instruments, you have to do something easier for the players. But here I went to the very edge.
Yeah.
And I passed really a tremendous process.
Yeah.
I met Siegfried Palm, for example, and Heinz Holliger. These are the kings of their instruments.
Yeah.
To learn from them how to use the oboe or the cello for my needs.
Yeah.
So that will be so expressive and dramatic. So it came out as an important summary of what I did, and to go on to somewhere, so it's like you say, that is very important. So that is a climax, I suppose, a climax. Mm-hmm. There are pieces that are more performed because they are easier to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Now we work in Israel about a new performance of it. I want also in Europe to have a performance of it.
Yeah.
Because I suppose if this is my contribution, I should try. And it's very difficult. It's 42 minutes in Arabic. And we have to find a solution how to do it. Sponsorship. In Israel, I hope if we have the good choir, we have the possibility. We have the frame. But at the moment, we are looking for it. The choir that did it in 1989 collapsed. They don't exist anymore.
Already?
Many
because
years.
Of this piece?
No. Very difficult. It was you could compare that Cameron Singer to every radio station, good choir in Germany, for example. There are some very good here. That's the place to do it, in Germany, in one of the radio stations. So I suppose that if we have the good choir with the... We have already the ambitious conductor.
Mm-hmm.
We see if they can do it. So we should have it in 2 years or something like that. Because it also takes time to prepare it. Very. We are all enthusiastic about the possibility in Israel to do it once more. Then while it will travel to Europe, it pays, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. Now, maybe talk a bit about your relation to Jewish and Christian religiousness. The poems and texts that inspire you, they know some universal kind of religious language. In Berat, the lyrical eye gave all its fruits and harvests to the earth and dies alone, is crucified. In Daniel and the Den of Lions, you show iconographic pictures, crucifixes, a suffering human being with the gesture of a crucified man, and also there are monks omnipresent in the incarnation of your oeuvre. Whom do these monks signify?
Mm-hmm. So, as to Christianity or Judaism, but many are asking about Christianity here. Because about Islam, we know already that I learned it.
And it's
part of my learning, and Judaism, of course, is my own religion, so I should know about it something and should be interested also to do something for that. And your main question, and it's right, it's very logical, are about the Christian symbols that you find. So look, the poet, from Egypt, from Cairo, that wrote the words, Ballad of Expected Death in Cairo, he is a Christian. So he took all his, many of his symbols, of his images, like the snow, and many things that he described there, and he said that he was crucified. And he even a little bit compares himself to Jesus, that he suffered. And all his poetry, all over his life, is also his big mistake, something like that. He feels guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a great poet, and he is a Christian, so I devoted myself to his poem when I composed it. Nothing, no problems, because I'm a Jew. And also I'm not a religious Jew. It is something also to important to mention. I have quite a nice relation with my religion, but I'm not religious. And also about Daniel in the Den of Lions, it's this is the story of Daniel that I learned, let's say not in school, but when I started to be interested to compose it, came to me in the Coptic community in Egypt. I saw a limestone in one of the big churches, and this is the very ancient Christianity, the Copts, they are the the first.
Yes.
So I got in love with all this area, and this story, Daniel in the Den of Lions, could also be interpreted in another neighborhood.
Yeah.
But I started there, and there I continued.
Mm-hmm.
Then I also learned that the Copts are, they feel very bad as a community, as a minority in the Muslim Egypt. They were the first. They are the first Egypt people.
Yeah.
So all of that, and the monks that you see there are like that. He was all the time with himself alone. Yes, putting himself, Daniel, in the den of lions, isolated from the whole, you know, neighborhood. So they are the same. Yeah. These hermits that they stay in the, they're very, very deep in the caves, and they stick with God, something very spiritual. Uh-huh. So let's say in this work you see some symbols of Christianity because we went there to you know, people and monks and monasteries, and we took there the pictures. It was my inspiration, and I led the whole crew with me. So it's again some sort of art, and we did not feel that we have there so much really, how you say that?
Crucifix.
Yeah. But you know, one of the best things in the Coptic art is that crucifix.
Yeah,
they have so many versions.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable. We put in the film maybe 10% of what we saw there.
Yeah.
But then, after everything was finished, and we were so complete, the whole crew and me, with the result. And many people liked it. But some of them in Israel told us, you have there too much crucifix, so there are special places in Israel that you cannot show it. It will insult the religious Jews.
Yes, and you know,
it's a luck that we did not think about it before, because it would stop us from the creative process that was so really enthusiastic.
I thought in another way, because I thought that the monks could be the lions, and then you would have a totally different interpretation. You would say, this shows a very difficult relationship between Jews and Christians. Because you have to be careful and so on. And,
But it
is absolutely not the case.
I'm totally free of any hesitations. When I started to do this piece, I also had to collect some connections, you know, some good people that will help me to get some licenses everywhere. And I got to know a man, he was then around 100 years old, musicologist, Radag Muftah. And he understood me better than all the others, you know. And then he came to the idea that I should record the people, his choir of the Christmas that they prepare, you know, the service. I should write it for them, for the men in Cairo, for such a big men choir in Cairo. And I said, but tell me, will not they oppose that a woman from Israel is writing for them and teaching them in the middle of Cairo for a whole month or 2 months? He said, I hate politics. So that's above. We are above. He asked me to send him a few things from the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, that we have a very good phonoteca. Because we have in Israel, it's like a phonoteca of the whole world sections, and Jerusalem, you have all the religions and all the religions. And I did it for him, so like a friend. It's all proper art, and it is from the region. And Daniel, in the Den of Lions, I suppose you wanted to ask me something about it.
Yeah.
It's a symbol of what this region can be or is.
Yeah.
As a combination of religions,
yeah,
of places, it's Egypt, it's who are Israelis, they did it, and it's a biblical story that we learn. So it's a great source of cultures.
So this is the political information you give us by writing this piece of yours. Did you write, or are you planning to write some more biblical works?
Yes. Let's say if I'm a symbol for many politicians in Israel, that they are pacifists. Yes, they are from the left side, but they don't know Arabic.
Yeah.
they only speak about it with good heart and good will, but they don't really are able to go to an Arab village and to start to speak with the people, or understand anything about the culture, or even the religion. So that's like a dream, you know, like I'm a symbol for many people in Israel. They take it more, even powerful than the political, in that direction. And well, I have now two ideas. One is already old one, and quite obvious that I want to do, after I had a chamber operas, to do one grand opera in Old Babylonian, which is the most ancient Semitic language. I have already the mythos with me. I have arranged already the libretto. I suppose that it's very difficult to get a production, but I should still try. I should try to get a production, maybe in Germany. That's the only place that I suppose there is a chance, if there is an opera house that will be open to this subject, because they lose a lot of money if they take a grand opera, a modern grand opera. That is impossible to compete with, you know, Bizet and all that thing. And if somebody will be interested, if not, I shall have to compose and just to record it by myself as a production.
But you have it yet in mind.
If I live and I'm healthy, I'm not going to give it up. It depends. You know, you can die every day. So So it's something that I would like after I finish a few other projects that are also on the way now. I would like to start really composing, but the process is there. I mean, if I have already made the libretto in Old Babylonian and I have edited all the three acts, it means that the process is there. I very deeply, and also all the time, I'm collecting inspirations from every place I can. It's something that I cannot even describe because it is so deep and so much, a lot. All the time is in my mind and I hear a lot. It's a fantastic language to be sung in, so it will be also very exotic and nobody has until today composed a whole opera in such a language. And there is also one Abraham, you know, Abraham is he's the beginning of the three religions. It's before monotheism. Maybe if I...
Abraham and Isaac?
Yes, only Abraham. Not so much with Isaac. Only Abraham, maybe with the three religions, and they have very, very different, very different sources of stories about Abraham. So and all these things, if I can find that one that will write the libretto. I have in mind somebody. We'll see if she's interested, if she's a big genius. Because the tradition goes until the Judaism also. So these are the main ideas, especially the first one, to compose. And I'm not doing anything little anymore now. Even if there are commissions, I'm not free to do it. I'm too busy with other big projects. I want to finish them, to get to this one, everything. Ordnung muss sein. There are books, there are a CD, website, enough to do, and I want to get to ADAPA with a good brain, and already these are behind me.
You know where your way leads you to.
Yes. All my life I was these projects and programs.
Let's have a last question. Some say in the last few years you found to a universal musical language, which includes not only the most different styles, but even synthesizes different ideas of life. Would you say this is true?
Yes, but for me it's very natural, not in the last years. I'm considered as one of the pioneers, I suppose, of this combination. As they call me the first established woman composer from the Middle East, it means that with all the background and all the inspiration, for me, as you can see from the early pieces, it was already there. It was not any shock. I know in Germany it is a big shock, the anti-structuralism, of, and I like very much this Schoenberg and Alban Berg. I like them very, very much. Yeah. I like very much to listen to them. It's also part of inspiration for me. So for me, it's not new of the last years. It's 30 years old.
You wouldn't say you have changed your way?
No, I made it to like that. I'm happy if some people or some people in the world of music already already saw it, and maybe they say I was a little earlier than others. You say sometimes about how he was, he foresaw what is coming to be. Because of this deep really involvement with the sources, cultural sources of the area, it was very, from the childhood, it was natural for me.
Ms. Flaja, we have more question. What brought you to Kassel?
So, first of all, it's not so unusual for me to come to Kassel. I'm in a very, very tough and long, I suppose, the connection with the Frauenmusik and Furore and Renate Matai and Dietburg Spohr for more than 20 years. Since they started this movement in Germany, I was involved. It was when Lamentation was, with the words of Else Lasker Schiller, was immediately after a premiere in Israel, produced in Germany twice. And by the way, that is a very feminine, poetical piece. You did not ask about me as a woman in my music, but it's something also very natural. Because people said, especially in Germany, we suppose that a man could not compose such a piece. There's something psychological, feminine. So then we met, and I was commissioned immediately to write a few pieces to Germany, and Kassel became the, after Düsseldorf, Kassel became the center of the Frauenmusik Archiv. Only a few years ago, it transferred to Frankfurt. So I was visiting here a lot as a woman composer. And then Frau Renate Matai, she ordered a few pieces to publish by the Verlag. And now, basically, I came to her in order to see our position with all these pieces that she is now going to produce here as a publisher. We are in the middle of the way, and there are some things that we have to discuss and I have to show. And so then, because I have had only just now a very important performance in Israel, I'm going to be a guest today of a special evening for some guests that she invites, I suppose, from the political or cultural area. And I shall be speaking about my work. It's a chance, really, to meet people and to let them ask me some questions. That's the main idea. We have here a few, I remember now two important events. One was in 1996. We had the whole evening with me, with performances and a lot of publicity, journals and interview and some very good performances. And in 1998, we had in Fatternam, that is a big shop of books. They ordered for that was the 50th anniversary of Israel. They wanted to do something, so they invited me for a whole evening, and then we showed Daniel in the Den of Lions, the whole video. It was also a big event, very much publicized. So, it's one of my homes in Germany. I like to be here also a lot in Germany. I have many points that I am, you know, like a welcome guest. We had in Goethe Institute in Tel Aviv in June 2006 a big event which was called the Tzipi Fleischer in Germany 20 years anniversary. So it was especially devoted there for many videos and recordings and explanations. about what I'm doing in Germany. And that is one of the heart of the places, Kassel.
Very fine. Thank you.
Welcome.